There are over a billion stars in the cosmos. A billion stars drifting through the infinite vastness of space. But there's only one computer that can run Windows, DOS, and Macintosh software. Power Macintosh is here. And the future is better than you expected.
The best 30 plus minute Apple conversation you're gonna hear all week long. I'm your host, Erfan Elijah. Joining me today, his great 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 grandfather invented the sideburns, and with his rich thick beard, he carries on that great family legacy. Buster Hine is here.
Hey, what's up?
What was your grandfather's name?
Pappy McGee
Hine.
Yeah.
That's a great name for a grandfather. You're so lucky. Also joining us, after seeing him consume an entire barrel of ale in just one Saturday night, the National Bards Association made him an honorary member. Leander Caney is here.
Hey,
fun. We gotta get you some Bards robes, Leander.
What is that you were talking about?
I don't know.
Like a bard? You know, like the guys that wore robes?
Yeah. Right. Is that a Seattle thing?
No, it's like, aren't bards still popular?
I don't think they're still popular. Isn't it like a Lord of the Rings type thing?
They did have them in like Lord of the Rings and Game of Thrones days. I'm sure they're still around. There have to be modern day bards.
How else could they
have an association?
Oh, yeah.
Leander, though, I will say, if you were born in like the 1700s, Buster, don't you think he would have made the perfect bard?
Oh, yeah.
Well, bard is more like Shakespeare. It's more like a storyteller.
Storyteller.
Yeah, right. He's a bard.
Somebody at the bard telling all the stories in a poetic.
Exactly.
They were songy.
Well, weren't they also like spiritual leaders or something? I don't know. All I know is that they would always like carry around all the ale. And one of them was always notoriously like getting into the ale, even though he wasn't supposed to. He was a good storyteller. He liked to laugh, but if you crossed him, he'd turn against you and get rip your face off or hit you with his long pole.
Talking about like Beetle the Bard, that guy.
Like the Bard in like Robin Hood, you know?
Yeah.
Like that guy.
Great intro.
Yeah, maybe not one of my best, although probably one of my most accurate. It's just like, what a bard. Anyway, welcome to Clubcast, everyone. We're going to be talking about this week's best Apple stories. We just like to start with at least 30 to 40 minutes of absolute nonsense, which I feel like we've accomplished. This week, we're going to be talking about the iPad Pro, because Leander, a.k.a. the modern day bard, has his hands on one. Leander, when did you pick up your iPad Pro?
Yesterday morning.
Okay, so you're ready to give us the skinny on all the things that you love and hopefully some of the things that you hate about it.
Yeah.
Are there any things that you absolutely hate so far?
No, nothing at all.
I bet you know all one.
100% positive.
We never say anything negative about Apple on this show because there's nothing negative to talk about. Welcome to the Cullcast. We're also, if you stay tuned to the end, we're going to be doing an all new What We're Into. We haven't done this in forever, and this is, as the title implies, things that we're into that may or may not have anything to do with Apple at all. And Leander has promised us before we started recording that he's going to go on a major rant. So if you like Leander rants as much as I do, make sure you stick around till the end for that. Although it's going to be a bad rant. So it's not really what you're into, but you're into ranting. So I guess that counts, Leander. Before we jump into all the fun, I want to say thank you to Canary for supporting this episode. Canary is a complete home security system in a single device. I have one of these in my house now. I just got mine. These things are super cool. So it's a good-looking device that sits in your home, and it's constantly watching. It's like the Eye of Sauron. And if it detects something out of the ordinary, it instantly starts recording and will send a intelligent notification with HD video straight to your phone. So you can watch, see what's going on. And if someone's in your house, if one of your roommates is in your room stealing your Snickers, you can press a button and sound an alarm, a 90 decibel alarm, to scare them out of their pants. And you can also make an emergency call. Check this thing out at meetcanary.com. See it in action. It does a ton of really cool stuff, but it's going to keep you safe. And it can see in the dark, like literally see in the dark. meetcanary.com. And if you decide you want to pick one up, use promo code CULTCAST to get free overnight shipping. So you'll have it the very next day. Meetcanary.com. Also want to thank Harry's for supporting this episode. If you're tired of paying way too much money for the razors that you buy at the drugstore or on Amazon, if you're tired of getting ripped off, you need to check out Harry's because their razor blades are extraordinarily high quality. In fact, they bought a German factory just so that they can make these things themselves, cut out the middleman, and make a fine shaving tool that's super sharp and ship it directly to you. Buster and I, we're really into shaving. I mean, preferably above the neck, but you know Buster when it comes to summertime, when we go to the beach together.
I'm all about those manscaping moments.
Manscaping moments. What people don't realize about Buster is he's like the Bob Ross of bodily manscaping. I mean, the manscapes that guy can create, and he whispers when he does it too. He's just like, we're going to make a little happy tree here, happy little mountain. And he's just going crazy. And if you're going to do something and you're going to be precise, if you're going to make a full manscape on your chest so that the people at the beach are impressed, you have to have the right tools. You're not going to just do that with a cheap razor blade, and you don't want to nick your areola or something like that and get blood everywhere.
Oh, nasty.
Exactly. It's nasty business. So check out harrys.com. You will get a razor blade that is extraordinarily sharp, shipped right to your door at a frequency that you choose for about half the price that they charge at the drugstore, and far cheaper than Amazon too. Harry's has the cheapest razor blades that I've seen. Check it out, harrys.com, and use code CULTCAST at checkout for $5 off any order. I recommend you start with the Truman set, which will give you a razor blade, some of their shaving cream. It's kind of like a starter kit, just to kind of get you started. And you'll get that shipped to your door for $10 if you use code CULTCAST at checkout. Harrys.com. Thanks to Harry's for sponsoring this episode. All right, Leander. iPad Pro, Leander, just came out. I saw that you spent an absurd amount of money on it. What was it, like $1,300?
Yeah, but I have an opinion about that. But yeah, it was because I ordered it's weird, you know, like you can get it in 32 gigabytes or 128 gigabytes and nothing in between. Uh-huh. So it jumps from $799 for the base model to
almost
$950.
Double. Okay.
For the for the bigger one, for the 128, and then it's even more for the one with the cellular connection. I can't remember the price off the top of my head, but anyway.
So you didn't even get the top tier model.
No, I guess I got the penultimate one there.
Okay.
It just Wi-Fi. Wi-Fi, 128 gig.
Did you pick up the keyboard and the pencil as well?
I ordered them, but they're not available until early December.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, that's totally bizarre. I can't believe they're not going to be ready at the same time.
Well, yeah, I guess. But it looked like there was plenty of iPads, though. And I bet there's some today. I haven't checked, but yesterday there were. I checked later on yesterday. And if you order online and you try to do, pick up the store,
yeah,
it was showing them available in all the local Apple stores.
Okay. So initial first impressions, you're taking it out of the box. At any moment, you realize this thing is absurdly, ridiculously huge.
Yeah. That's your first impression. It's like this does look.
Didn't you say that in your review too? You're like, it's huge.
It is. Yeah. It really does seem big. But, the funny thing is, it's just like the iPad. It's like the iPhone Plus. It's like after 24 hours, 28 hours or whatever it is, it does not seem that huge anymore.
Mm-hmm. But although no, you're not going to be reading it in bed anytime soon.
Well, I did. I was reading in bed last night, and I was like, and it, if you hold it, you can read it with one hand. If you prop it up between your thumb and forefinger, and then you have you're lying on your back, and you have your elbow resting on the bed, and if you get the balance just right, all the weight goes down onto your arm, and so your arm is pushed down into the bed. but you can actually hold it with one hand.
I need to see that to believe it, because doesn't it weigh 2+ pounds?
No, it's nowhere near that. I think it's a pound.
It's 1.5, yeah.
1.5, okay. That doesn't sound like a lot, but when you're one-handing it, that's a lot of weight.
It's a big difference, because you remember the old iPads? I mean, they weren't easy to hold with one hand. Mm-hmm. And the iPad Air 2, which is what I've had for the last year or so, that really is a lightweight. So that's really easy to hold with one hand. Well, no, it's great for reading. I totally read in bed at night with the iPad Air. Mm-hmm. And I was reading in bed last night with this thing. And my hand, I could feel it. Like, you could feel the weight.
When your arms started shaking and you started getting a headache.
It's like a, you know, like kind of a cramp in your, in my fingers. Not a right. cramp, but, you know, like the fingers feel kind of fatigued a bit.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But, you know, it's doable.
What are some things about it that you like so far that you like more than the regular iPad?
Well, yeah, I'm going to be testing it out. You know, I just, I was going to say, you know, I was thinking about doing a review. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, oh, no, you know, I got to sit down and I got to do a review. And I've always been kind of disappointed the last few reviews we've done and the review format, you know, where you talk about the design and the build and the this and the that. And I thought, well, you know, if Tim Cook has taken this to England and as his only computer, mm-hmm. and they're pitching it as a computer replacement, you know, I'm going to test it out. Let's try and see what happens. Because I've tried to use the iPad for work in the past, and I've always run up against roadblocks, right? You know, that something would happen. I couldn't upload a picture to WordPress, or I couldn't open a particular file. And instead of figuring out the way a way to do it on the iPad, you know, download an app or that would deal with it, I was always like, okay, forget it. I'm just going to get my MacBook, or I'll go back to the Mac and I'll do it on the machine instead. So I, you know, so what I've done with the iPad has always been, as you know, it's been a home machine. It's been for reading and for, you know, looking at pictures and stuff like that, like liking cat videos on Facebook. But
right.
I've never, but this one I'm going to try and see if I can use it as my one and only work machine, like do everything on the iPad.
But, okay, so I know that some people are asking the question, is this an actual computer killer? I mean, what's different between this and the regular iPad? Why didn't the regular iPad kill the computer, right? I mean, they're essentially the same device. This one's just bigger.
Right. But it's the combination of the, you know, the accessories for a start. And I think the bigger screen, the fact that you can do multitasking on it. Mm-hmm. You can do that on the iPad Air, but on the bigger screen, it makes much more sense. There's a lot more real estate to work with.
Mm-hmm. I thought the biggest limitation, correct me if I'm wrong, of working with an iPad as your main machine are the limitations of iOS, though. Where
yeah.
you're trying to do things, you're trying to multitask, you're trying to upload pictures to WordPress, so on and so forth, and it just doesn't work as well as a Mac would.
Well, we'll see. You know, this is what I'm interested to find out. You know, like you said, you can't have a bunch of stuff running in the background, right? Probably. Maybe you can. I don't know. You know, this will be one of the interesting things to see. I mean, so far I've used it to publish a post. And
yeah, we saw how well that was going.
I mean, what 90% of your job, what is that, Leander? Like, what's work look like to you? Mostly email and like Slack and posting, right?
Right, indeed, exactly. That's exactly what it is. Yeah. You know, a few spreadsheets. Yeah, but that's mostly it. It's mostly writing. I mean, I'm not doing anything really heavy duty. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. There'll be that caveat. I mean, I'm not using this is definitely pitched at creatives. You know, you can see that they're trying to go after that sort of typical Apple, you know, the Apple sort of creative market. And, you know, I don't use any of those apps, any 3D or any design or artistic software. So, I was going to play around with Photoshop Fix, which I, mm-hmm. you know, the light Photoshop.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's mostly, you know, word processing, publishing on the web, that kind of stuff. Nothing really heavy duty, but I think a lot of people's workflows are kind of like that, aren't they?
Yeah.
White collar workers. I mean,
white collar work. The toffs.
I downloaded Microsoft Outlook yesterday.
Uh huh.
The email program
for the iPad.
For the iPad, yeah, and it looks really, and it look. I'm like, oh my, this looks really useful. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was just toggling between they filter your email into what is it? You know, like the stuff you want to see, the essential stuff, and then yeah. everything else. Mm-hmm. And already, I can see that's working pretty good.
So you like the email application, you like being able to just have the portability, and hopefully you're thinking this might be able to replace your Mac eventually, but it's kind of hard to tell until you get your hands on the keyboard. That's kind of a key component of this. Of
well,
this formula,
exactly.
Right?
So, but I bought a Logitech keyboard, the, what's it called? Create keyboard.
Mm-hmm.
They actually have one. They had a bunch in the store. And it's like Apple's keyboard, but it's got a backlit. It's got backlit keys.
Oh, yeah. That's nice.
And it has a built-in cover. So you snap the iPad into the cover. And then when you open it up, you can slot the iPad into this magnetic slot that has the power connectors on it.
Mm-hmm.
So it draws power from the iPad. And it's a full-size chiclet-style keyboard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's slick. This is what made me think, oh, yeah, you can totally do this, because as soon as I snapped it in there, you know, you go to unlock it, and like I have a 21 character password on my Mac.
Oh my god! Why?
Because I had security problems. You know, like I lost a Mac.
That's true.
I lost a Mac, and then you know I had to reset everything, and it was such a huge headache. I'm like, okay, forget this. I'm gonna, you know, I instead of using a one word password with a few numbers instead of vowels, you know, I went ahead and put and made a really, you know, a three word password with a bunch
super
of
supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
I'm not saying, but you know, the thing is a pain. And the same with 1Password. You know, I use 1Password, but often when you have to use 1Password, you have to put in a password to unlock 1Password.
Right. Yes. It's very meta.
Yeah, I'm thinking, you know, like half the day, I'm just typing in passwords. So the first thing you do with the iPad Pro, you know, it's sitting there in its keyboard case. It's just like a laptop.
Mm-hmm.
And you put your thumb against the Touch ID, boom, opens right up. Passwords. And that was what made me think this could be, you know, like it's a different experience, and this really could be, you know, the computer of the future. You close it up and the magnets in the case, mm-hmm. you know, it detects that and it shuts down. It has some keyboard shortcuts built into the keyboard itself.
Oh, so it's actually made to work with the iPad and actually has some shortcuts in there. So it's not just like a regular Bluetooth keyboard.
No, it's super nice, and the whole thing is you know, very much like using a MacBook. The only thing is, I kept on going down to where the trackpad should be.
Yeah,
And I'm like, wait a second, then I got to go up to the screen.
Okay, so you have a keyboard now, and you're using it with a keyboard. Do you think this is going to replace a Mac for most people?
Well, you know, this is what I want to find out. I mean, you know, this is what.
So you don't know yet.
I don't know yet, and I think a lot of it had to do. You remember Charlie Sorrell? I mean, he used to go to these crazy lengths.
Old Cult of Mac gadgets editor. This guy was nuts. Right. He was using an iPad as his main computer before anyone else was, and he had all these just wacky, zany workflows to make it work. Right. Because it just wasn't working, and he wouldn't admit it. So he just kept trying to make it work.
I know, and some of them were really complex, like IFTTT scripts, and he would be putting stuff into folders that would like upload stuff to some other service.
No normal human is ever going to work this way. No normal human would ever do that.
Well, the software has become a lot more, has become, you know, much more mature since then.
And Charlie was trying to do
it, there's some crazy stuff you can do with it. You know, Snapseed, even though I've only played around with Snapseed, is an amazing photo editor.
It really is, yeah.
And if you think back, you know, I used to do stuff with Photoshop Elements. Like, I was never a Photoshop master. I tried Photoshop. I had Photoshop Lite. But Photoshop Elements, you know, I kind of knew how to do a few things in that. And, you know, Snapseed kind of blows that away. It makes it much easier. It's very, very, you know, you used to have, like, if this really is, like, you used to have a pro machine to do stuff like that, Photoshop Elements, to run a bunch of different things and to do some things like photo editing. A few years ago, you know, you had to have like a G5 Power Mac or something like that to do this stuff. And that would have set you back, what, $3,500, $4,000?
For a G5, yeah. That was some top grade hardware right there.
Right, exactly. And, you know, I don't know if you can compare the iPad Pro to, you know, a G5 5 years ago. I don't know. You know, could you?
Well,
maybe.
Well, it's the, very, sorry, it's go ahead, Buster.
Well, like the A9X chip is comparable to a lot of laptops today. I think Gruber said it was faster than the x86 chips or something from Intel.
Really? You mean the mobile chips?
No, the desktop chips.
What?
That's the thing. It's as powerful as a desktop computer right there in your lab.
Well, the Geekbench single scores were, and the multi-core scores were super high. They were higher than anything else in the mobile category. Well, mostly almost everything else, including the 6S and the 6S Plus. So this thing is insanely powerful, that's for sure. Yeah. And I think it was also more powerful than the Surface Pro 4. I don't know if it was the Surface Book or the Surface
Book.
Pro.
Yeah, right.
The Surface Pro 4. So certainly a very, very powerful machine. And so that made me genuinely curious. Like, if it's fast, you have the big screen, you have the keyboard that you could get with it, even though it's ridiculously overpriced. You know, maybe you could actually use this for a MacBook replacement, but
I think the biggest limitation is the software, though. Even though, you know, Apple's made a few strides, it's still,
I agree,
not up to par with what you're going to be able to do on your Mac. There's just not as many advanced apps for it, you know.
Well, iMovie. I put together two videos yesterday with a simple wipe between them. And yeah, I know it's not, you know.
Wait a second, Hollywood. You need a wipe? Someone call Hollywood.
I know, right? I'm not editing, you know, the new Star Wars movie. But I remember doing, you know, that kind of thing on a MacBook a few years ago, and you know what a nightmare it was to get the video into the machine, mm-hmm. to locate all the clips. It took up gigabytes and gigabytes of you know, space on your hard drive. It would often slow to a crawl. If you rendered anything, it would take forever. And the experience of doing this on a touchscreen device is you know, really intuitive. I didn't look at I'd never, you know, really done it before, and I wanted to trim a clip, and it took me like about 30 seconds to figure out how to do that. You know, it was like it was really pleasurable. It's like it has it's a much more playful, you know, exploratory game-like experience. Mm-hmm. You know, where you just dab around with your fingers and see what happens. And you know, this is what I want to dig into, is like, because I know there's a lot of really sophisticated software, like, you know, Riedel's Scanner Pro. Mm-hmm. But for, you know, you don't have to have a scanner anymore. You just take a picture, and it'll convert it into a PDF or a bunch of other formats. And some of the other scanner programs, I'm not sure if Riedel's does it, but some of the scanner programs does OCR in the cloud.
I think theirs does too. Yeah.
Yeah. So this stuff is like, I think there's a whole bunch of really sophisticated things you can do. And I don't know if it's true, you know, that the software is lagging behind anymore.
Well, you can't develop an OS. You can't develop an iOS app on it.
Okay.
And when it comes to like inputting and exporting media, I think that's also where it really struggles, especially if you're working within multiple apps. Like sometimes I'll be doing something within Photoshop and I will want to move into a different application and, you know, go back and forth between like several applications in order to create a final product. And I feel like that kind of multifunctionality is just not very good yet in iOS. You know.
It's definitely getting better. You know, I just transferred some pictures I took over from on my iPhone to my, you know, machine using AirDrop, which I think is absolutely miraculous and is brilliant. And I found it, you know, that there's quite a lot of services you can send stuff to between apps. I mean, for the kind of things that I've been doing, you know, shuffling pictures and files and PDF files and stuff like that, it's worked great.
Yeah, I'm sticking with my Mac.
Well, I mean, I do think that it will be like the computer of the future, but I think for now, Macs will still be around for a little while.
Yeah, longer. I mean, it probably will be the computer of the future, like the year 2500.
Well, I think it'll only take them, you know, a couple more years. By the third one, I'm not really jazzed about the current one, mostly because of software. But
yeah.
Once Apple adds more stuff and gives developers better access to everything in iOS, you know, comparable to OS X, then I think it'll be a lot better.
Maybe this is just an old timey way of thinking, but I just love having a desktop when different windows are open and you can, you know, play with different windows and drag stuff from one window to the other. And I just like that old fashioned way of doing things.
Well, that's, you know, that was always my problem, is exactly that. Being stuck in the old fashioned way of doing things. Like I still haven't figured out how to do tabs in the Finder and things like that. But if you look at the way that Apple's
Command T.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh. All right. Maybe I'll give that a shot.
Okay. But,
you know, I've been trying to use full screen mode on the Mac, and I still really can't kind of get used to that. But you know, there's a bunch of things that Apple has added to OS X to make it more iOS like. Mm-hmm. You know, like the launch, whatever it's called, which I never use, Launchpad.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Launchpad.
Yeah, I don't ever use that either. I feel like it's redundant. You can just use Spotlight to launch all that stuff.
Yeah, you know the one thing I don't like about the iPad Pro is no Force Touch or Touch.
Yeah. 3D Touch.
3D Touch. Yeah.
Right. That is an odd omission, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially because it's like increasingly used, you know, in OS X too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just kind of getting used to it on the 6 Plus.
And it's their like a flagship iPad.
Yeah, right.
But although what I thought was absolutely hilarious is there is no Hey Siri support in the new iPad Pro. So you can't say Hey Siri and just have it activate. But don't worry, if you decide to take your iPad Pro running, it has an M9 Motion coprocessor. It's always good for your chefs. So you need to get yourself one of those iPad Pro running belts, Leander. You just wear that thing, put your headphones in it, and just go for that jog you've been wanting to go on. Don't worry, right. your steps are going to be tracked. Isn't that totally like, bizarre? It's like M9, really? Well, the iPad Pro?
It's on the chip, though. It's on the A9 processor. Right. So.
it has to be put in there. Anything else you want to add about the iPad Pro itself, Leander?
No, it's you know, it's absolutely beautifully made, and it for its size, it's relatively light.
Have you noticed? Speakers, I was going to ask about the speakers. Go ahead.
Yeah, they sound great. It's got four speakers in the corner, and apparently, it takes up like sort of 50% of the room for a battery.
Mm-hmm.
A bigger battery is taken up by the air chambers for the speakers.
Mm-hmm.
But I was really surprised at how great it sounded. I played a little bit of music, and I was watching a movie.
Mm-hmm.
It was really, it almost sounded like I had an external Bluetooth, like a little portable Bluetooth speaker.
Uh-huh.
It was that comparable to that, I think.
That's great.
So I mean, definitely it's not room filling, but you know, if it's sitting in your lap, it's really good.
Well, then you won't even need to wear your headphones when you go on those runs. The speakers will just be perfect. Right.
People think it's like some, you know, like a you know, when you hear a guy on a motorcycle or a car coming down the street with the windows down.
And if you weren't already annoyed by those people standing in front of you at the concert taking pictures with their iPad, you will be now.
Because
now you won't be able to see any of the stage, at least live with the iPad.
You can take it to sporting events, though, now, and you don't have to take one of those paper posters, though, either.
Oh, yeah, double duty.
And it's only a matter of time before we get the iPad Pro selfie sticks. I'm sure those will be made from solid steel. It's unfortunate that you didn't get the pencil with it yet. I know that the pencils are in serious supply constraints because I saw a lot of people on Reddit complaining about how they couldn't get their hands on one, and that's one of the biggest reasons to get the iPad Pro is to use the pencil. But did you guys catch this interview with Johnny Ive regarding the pencil and how he thinks it's going to be the best stylus that you've ever used in your entire life?
Of course it is, because Johnny made it, you know.
That's right. Well, that's what I was going to ask Leander about. So I'm really curious, because Johnny Ive said, we hope to, if you are used to spending a lot of time using paintbrushes, pencils, and pens, this will feel more like a natural extension of that experience, that it will feel familiar. Was that just a spot on, Johnny Ive?
There was no
terrible,
wasn't
that it?
Accent.
Was
I didn't, there yeah, was
no, it was awful. I'm gonna work on that.
I think that was actually the worst.
That might have been the worst impression. Johnny Ive impression ever on the internet.
I mean, you sounded very serious, though.
Yeah, well, that's how he sounds. He sounds serious. He also sounds British. That's the part I don't have down yet.
Yeah.
So I saw a video of some people using the Apple Pencil, and one of the things I was most curious about was just the delay. You know, the lag. Because I've used styluses before on iPads, and the lag is always a killer. So you're drawing something, and as you're moving your hand along, like the line is like 2 inches behind where your stylus is actually touching, catching up. And they were comparing in the video, in fact, I'll put this in the show notes, they were comparing the Surface Pro 4 to the iPad Pro. And the iPad Pro, at least in this video, looked like it performed better than the Surface Pro 4, but there was still some lag going on there.
Right, there was a little bit.
Did you see that video, Buster?
Yeah, yeah.
It was definitely noticeable.
I was like, it's not perfect, though. They could definitely make it less laggy than
Yeah, I think that's kind of what I was expecting. I was expecting it to be perfect.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to see if Johnny Ive's statement holds up, and people, you know, that do digital painting and maybe work on like a Wacom tablet or something will actually end up using this instead. I'm very curious to see how well that works. Before we wrap up on the iPad Pro news, I want to read you a couple of these other statements that people made around the web about the iPad Pro. I thought this one was great. The Verge said, I'm not sure how anyone can walk away with a first impression that's any different from, wow, this is comically large. Leander, was that your impression when you took it out?
Initially, but like I said, you know, it's already doesn't seem that big. And in fact, it kind of, you know, I hate to say, when I woke up this morning, I was like, oh, is that, it's only that big? Huh, I thought it was bigger.
That's what she said. The Wall Street Journal said, because Apple hasn't made a great keyboard, the iPad Pro isn't a complete replacement for a great laptop like the MacBook Air, even for a tablet guy like me. Oh, so they didn't like the keyboard. That's curious.
Well, this Logitech one's great.
Okay, so the Logitech one is good. Leander, when you get your Apple keyboard, I want to hear what you think about that, because that's surprising. I would have guessed the very least this thing would have an insanely great keyboard, right? I mean, that's like,
yeah,
one of the
that's a big part of the pitch. Yeah,
exactly. And you can't have a laptop replacement without a great keyboard. Okay, well, before we move on, let me go ahead and say thank you to SoftLayer for supporting this episode. SoftLayer delivers a cloud built for privacy. Ooh la la. Your business applications and computational workloads are unique, so you should be using cloud resources that meet your specific needs. SoftLayer is one of the only cloud providers that provisions dedicated servers and virtual servers from a single seamless platform, all on demand, all connected to the same open API, all connected to a global private network, allowing you to scale your workloads up and down quickly and have ample space for your storage-intensive tasks. And all of our listeners have the opportunity to get $500 of cloud infrastructure by visiting softlayer.com/podcast, where you can go and order bare metal servers, virtual servers, storage, networking, and security services from your choice of data center. And they have not 23 data centers, no, 24 data centers all around the world. And all of those servers and services are connected to SoftLayer's unique network of networks, which separates public, private, and management traffic, ensuring that traffic to and from your cloud infrastructure travels more efficiently. Plus, you can automate and control your cloud infrastructure with a granular API. If you're ready to up your business or app game and you want to make the switch to the big boys club, check out softlayer.com/podcast to get started with $500 off servers, storage, network, and security on a cloud built for privacy from SoftLayer. Softlayer.com/podcast. All right. Before we do a all new what we're into, I thought this was definitely worth mentioning. So did you guys hear the news that Apple may be working on a person-to-person payment service?
Yeah.
What do you think about that, Buster?
Like Venmo for Apple Pay.
I don't even know what Venmo is. What is Venmo?
What? You don't know what? You're not hip.
I feel like such a dunce now.
Venmo, it's like what else is there? Square Cash? Like Square Cash. Yeah, it's like Square Cash or PayPal where you can pay your friends.
So between those three examples, you chose Venmo?
Venmo's very cool with the younger people. You guys don't know about it because you're old, like Gen X, but it's very popular with the millennials.
Dude, what are you talking about? I'm 19 years old. I'm younger than Alex. I just look older. Thank you for bringing that up on the show and embarrassing me.
Sorry.
Yeah, I have a hormone problem. Thank you very much. Anyway, tell me more about that weird Venmo thing.
So it's a very easy way to just find your friends and pay them and send them money from your iPhone, just like Square Cash.
Okay.
And if you've ever used Square Cash, super simple. And so I guess that it would be the same way with Apple Pay, like iPhone to iPhone, and you can just send them small amounts of money.
This would be amazing, though, wouldn't it? Because everyone is so disconnected from apps like this. I mean, anytime I try to pay anyone and they're not tech savvy, you know, it's impossible to get them to install Square Cash or PayPal or an app, even though they're so easy to use. In fact, my friend owed me money just this last weekend, and I was like, do you want to pay me via Square Cash? And he's like, no, I don't want to install some weird app that I've never heard of before. And so he wanted to pay me with Google Wallet because that's the one he's familiar with. And I'm like, who uses Google Wallet? He has an iPhone. So I slapped him. I slapped the phone out of his hands. And his wife was like, what are you doing? And I pushed her down. And I think I made my point. I was like, you guys need to grow up and get a grown man's app like PayPal. I think I may have overreacted. I'm going to apologize to him after the show. But wouldn't it be cool to have an app that we all have built in automatically to send money back and forth? This could be a major, major game changer. In fact, I think this could be really dangerous for Square.
Yeah.
And then this way you don't need anyone to install anything. And I think that's what makes it so huge is people will use it because it's there already. And so anytime you need to, you know, give someone money, if they have an iOS device, they're not going to really have to do any work because Apple already has your credit card information. You may have to feed them your debit card, but it should make this really seamless to pay people, which would be very cool since people are so hesitant to install their apps.
Is there something deeper going on with it?
What do you mean?
Well, I don't know. You know, like didn't Tim Cook meet up with Chancellor Osborne in the UK when he joined this trip this week? And he's talking about Apple Pay, mm-hmm. you know, and they're making a big push for the banks in the UK. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on in the digital payments world. And Stripe, which is next door to our, they have their HQ, you know, right next door to our offices here in San Francisco. You know, they just did a huge deal with Visa, and they're going to be handling their electronic payments. And it looks like, you know, the backbone of the payment system was the credit card system, right? You know, mm-hmm. like a lot of money was being shuffled around through the credit card system. And I think, you know, it's still, as far as I know, a lot of it is paper-based, unbelievably.
Mm-hmm. What?
I think so, yeah.
Hard to believe.
This is why it takes, sometimes it says, you know, like when you get a refund on your Visa card or...
Yeah, it takes 2 weeks.
Sometimes a payment, yeah. And you know why? Because they're printing it out.
Because some guy has to go, like, to some the file cabinet and look it up.
I believe so. I mean, I'm not 100% sure, but I think
drive it to your bank.
I know. It's crazy, isn't it? There's still, you know, there's still a paper workflow behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, this, you know, this is why Visa's teaming up with people like Stripe, because they're trying to get, you know, modern digital back-to-back payment system. And, you know, you just, you know, how big a deal is it must be a tiny minuscule of the payment system. How often do you pay, you know, your friends?
Well,
person to person?
You can't oftentimes because it's so difficult to do. I mean, everyone's using different platforms. I feel like if it were easy, you would do it all the time. Because how often do you have to square up with your friends? I mean, I have to do it, I guess not all the time, but it happens regularly. I'd say maybe a few times a month.
Hmm.
Do you have friends, Leander?
I was just thinking about that. One, I don't have any friends. Two, I never go out.
And your three, kids are your friends, Leander. You have like 40 friends in your own household.
Right. And I have to pick up the tab.
That's right. And they never have to pay for anything. Yeah, there's no squaring up there.
Right. I know. We went out. Last weekend, took all the kids to go see a movie. Then I took them out for a meal. And I paid for it.
You're such a nice guy. All right, let's go ahead and move on to the last segment of the show, the shite we're into. Boy, I love this segment because we get to hear about the stuff that you guys are loving these days, or in Leander's case, hating enthusiastically. And it may not be Apple related. So, Leander, you said that you wanted to go on a little mini rant about a show that you want to love, but unfortunately are unable to. Why is that? No, by the way, please, no spoilers. No spoilers.
All right, no spoilers. Well, it's, you know, for years now, I've been hate watching The Walking Dead. And what? I do not enjoy it. I hate watching it.
I'm rewatching the entire thing right now because I love it that much. How can you possibly hate it?
Oh, I hate everything about it. I hate that show. And I used to hate it because it was so close to being great.
Uh-huh.
It would come within an inch of being mind-blowingly great.
Season 2 was great. When they go to the farm, that was a great season.
Oh, but yeah, but exactly. But you know what? They totally and utterly messed up every single dramatic opportunity they had.
Okay, what? Like which ones? Actually, I can't ask you this.
Okay, this is season 2, years and years ago, right? So, in fact, the whole premise, the barn, was a brilliant dramatic idea.
Mm-hmm.
Herschel's wife and daughter.
Hold on. Spoiler alerts coming up on Walking Dead. We're veering into this. So if you haven't seen The Walking Dead season 2, this is where you're going to want to fast forward, I don't know, a minute or so. Go ahead.
There's a bunch of loved ones in the barn.
Yeah.
Did they ever go to the barn and take care of their loved ones? In the entire season, never.
What do you mean? Yeah, they do.
I don't think they did.
Yeah. The girl or the older lady living in Herschel's house broke the chicken legs and took them out there and fed them.
Yeah, okay, they were keeping them alive.
Yeah, they were keeping them alive.
Well, they didn't really, but there wasn't any.
They kind of backed off.
Right. They did. They didn't. I don't think they didn't. Herschel didn't go down there and.
Well, not that we saw.
Right, but that's the whole point. Exactly. But there's been a whole bunch of other things like that. Like, the, you know, there was character, the governor, right, with his daughter.
Yeah.
His daughter. Okay, spoiler alert. Season whatever four. Yeah, right.
We're still doing spoilers. If you're listening
his
to this,
main
you know that
relationship
already.
Is with a zombie, and there was one scene at the very first episode where he's stroking her hair, and then they did not visit that the entire season.
Well, and they alluded to the fact that this dude's crazy. He's keeping a zombie in a cage, and he still has feelings for his daughter. He thinks that's his daughter.
No,
and secretly, he's doing that when we're not watching.
But you don't see it, do you? They didn't explore that relationship. And it's full of the most, I mean, this is the most heartbreaking stuff you can imagine, wouldn't it? You know, you could not, your child is dead and yet not dead. And you know, how do you have a relationship with a zombie? I mean, even Shaun of the Dead did it better. You know, when he's in the barn and he's playing games with his.
That's
you know, with,
true. Yeah. Well, that was a fantastic zombie movie.
Right. Precisely. Much, much sharper, much more intelligent. And then, but Walking Dead, like every single thing, like that, every dramatic opportunity, the whole debate about the governor and the prison, you know.
Yeah.
There was no difference between the two of them. The governor was supposed to be crazy, but he really wasn't that crazy. It could have been almost like, you know, they could have done. There's all these possibilities to talk about contemporary America, to talk about history, to talk about, you know, the founding of America, about democracy versus dictatorship. I mean, you know,
zombies. What are you talking
exactly,
about?
Exactly, but it could be allegorical. It could be an allegory for so many different things. It'd be so much more interesting because it would have had a level of depth that would make it more interesting than a celebration of gun culture. Every single problem is solved with a blasting the shit out of everything.
Well, it's a zombie show.
I know, but even when they have other people they're in conflict with, they just shoot them up. And it's like, it's the worst celebration of American gun culture that I've ever seen on TV. And this is why I really hate it now.
You know what I hate more than zombies, Herschel? Slavery.
Right. Well, that's where the whole zombie myth comes from. It's from Haitian slaves. Haitian slaves, well, their lives are so miserable that the worst fate they could imagine was not being allowed to die. Even death wasn't a release from slavery. And so, you know, and look at what's going on in America now, you know, with Black Lives Matter, and it's set in Atlanta, you know, like there's a lot, and all the black characters, none of the black characters, it's a lot of black characters, but none of them have any of the contemporary problems. It's not even, race isn't even mentioned at all.
Well, that's because they've transcended, well, no, that's not true. Race is mentioned. Remember in, I think it was season one where Daryl's brother got into a fight with T-Dog. And they're like, why are you guys worried about race? We have zombies to deal with. I feel like they came to the conclusion they had transcended racial issues because it's human race against the zombies now at this point.
Yeah, but that's the problem, I think. You know, like, because on one hand, it's commendable that it's sort of, you know, post-racial.
Yeah.
No one's colors ever mentioned. But I think that is missing a huge dramatic opportunity because they can talk about contemporary issues. It's not true in today's American society. My goodness, the most urgent social issues are still... Look what happened with the kids in Mizzou. Uh-huh. An astonishing, amazing thing, you know, that they managed to pull down the president of that university and, you know, the chancellor through just threatening to strike. Because uh-huh. they're the only people who have any power. I don't know, there's a lot of, you know, the whole Ferguson, Black Lives Matter, you know, the cops are completely... in this country, a very, very every situation they face is potentially life threatening because everyone is armed,
right?
And there's a lot of, you know, shoot first, ask questions later, culture, which I don't blame the cops for, because like, who wants to go to work and come back dead?
Yeah, nobody. I don't think anyone wants that.
You know, and look at college shootings, you know, massacres. Yeah. I think there's a ton of stuff that is ripe. For a show like The Walking Dead, where they could, like, you know, rip from the headlines. Even Law and Order does it better, you know, where they take these contemporary issues and they stick them into dramatic context.
I was just going to say,
I would love to see The Walking Dead do stuff like that.
If A&E is listening, here's what we need. We need a CSI or a Crime and Order type show with zombies that also talks about the relevance, political issues and racial issues happening in our country today. That's the show Leander needs.
I think it would be great. I mean, even if they just had even some more dramatic, you know, like if they did a better job of looking at family relationships. Like, there's a great French zombie show called The Returned. And it is, the premise is this remote mountain village. People who have died come back and resume their lives as though nothing has happened. And it's amazingly chilling. And
I think you mentioned this on a previous show too.
I did talk about this.
It's on Netflix,
it's a,
right?
It's a super great show. Yeah, it's on Netflix. Yeah,
in fact, and we haven't even talked about this last show.
We did talk about the last show, but it's just, you know, like it has a much better insight into human, you know, human emotions, human relationships. And Walking Dead never touches on that.
No,
I mean, there's been
don't.
A few, you know, where a few favorite characters kick the bucket and it's all very sad. But, you know, they seem to have one theme, which is, you know, you got to tough up.
Don't get eaten by zombies.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's about, you know, even though Crazy Rick's crazy, he's keeping us all alive, you know, because he's crazy like a fox.
Yeah, that's right. Because Rick realizes at this point in the world, there's only two kinds of meat, white meat and dark meat. Remember when he said that?
Yeah. And you know, this season, everyone is, you know, the poor saps in Summerfield or whatever it is, you know, like they're weak. They're weak because they won't, you know, they don't know how to, they're not survivalists. It's That's almost right. like a fascist survivalist show.
Where the zombies are the fascists, right? They're like,
No. Where the gun toters, you know, it's like you can imagine, you know, the survivalists having a better show to showcase their twisted, warped, sick, crazy, gun-loving philosophy.
I think you might be projecting just a little bit. Just a little bit you might be projecting, but...
Okay. I hate that show. Like, my blood boils.
Well, who are you watching it with?
My kids.
And they like it, right? They're like, Dad. So why are you guys all sitting in there, like, seething, hating this show together? It's one big family ordeal.
I wouldn't let the kids watch it because it was so grotesque. But
Man. It's so violent.
Yeah, it's terrible.
I can hardly believe they allow some of this stuff on television.
Well, it's kind of cartoonish now, I think, right?
Right. Yeah, some of it looks pretty graphic. I mean, I was just thinking, you wouldn't even see this in rated R movies 20 years ago.
No, right. True.
I mean, 20 years ago, I wasn't alive yet. I'm just assuming.
Yeah, but, yeah. It looks like Paul Verhoeven's, you know, Starship Troopers.
Okay.
Even, you know, even some of the apocalyptic imagery, every now and again, you know, it would surprise. Like, the best zombie movie ever is Zack Snyder's remake of Dawn of the Dead.
Yeah. Oh, man, that thing was just brutal.
Right, and really apocalyptic. Yeah. You were like, oh, my God, this is what the end of the world is going to look like.
It was horrifying, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, totally. That's almost, I think, flawless zombie movie. Brilliant from beginning to end.
Wow, there you go. Which one was that again?
Dawn of the Dead.
But who was the who was the director?
Snyder.
Well, Derek Snyder? Another fascist, yeah. Hated his 300. Fascist. Hated that movie. That was a great one, yeah. Zack Snyder.
Okay. Leander loves to hate Walking Dead. Buster, what are you currently loving?
I got it. This is an alternative to Walking Dead. I think it's way better. It's a new show. It's on Stars.
Stars?
Yeah, horrible. But it's called Ash versus Evil Dead. Have you heard of
No, I've never Evil, heard of this.
Have you heard of Evil Dead or Army of Darkness?
I have heard of the Army of Darkness, which was one of the most terrible movies I've ever seen.
Oh, no. It's great.
I love Ash versus Evil Dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Yeah. This sounds like it's going to be really good. Please continue.
So it's not a zombie movie, but it's kind of similar. It's like Ash has this book and the Necronomicon, and he reads from it, and it basically makes people turn evil and stuff like that. And so he's got to fight all these deadites. And so he has, in like the movie Evil Dead 2, he lost his hand to an evil spirit. So he chopped it off.
Oh, man, I hate when evil spirits take my hand.
And so he replaced it with a chainsaw.
Naturally.
Naturally.
He's like Edward chainsaw hands now.
Yeah. Okay. So he goes... He'll just go around with his shotgun and his chainsaw and just chop deadite heads off and, you know, fight people. And it's hilarious. Like, it's...
Hold on, Buster.
Say something.
There, it works now. Sorry, continue.
But it's funny. It's like slapstick. Like, we're talking about Walking Dead being, like, overly gory, but it takes it to, like, an all-new level.
So is it, like, Kill Bill type?
Yeah,
like, hilarious.
Totally.
That's, like, with a graphic. It's super graphic, but it's hilarious graphic.
Right, yeah. Like, they'll stab a deadite in the neck, and just, like, blood just gushes all out everywhere. And, you know, and it's just, like, everybody's soaked in blood, and you're just like, oh, my gosh. And it's like, you know, it's, I wouldn't say it's scary at all, yeah, but it's super entertaining. Bruce Campbell, who plays it, he's been in like,
oh, he's in it.
Yeah, Bruce Campbell's in it. He plays Ash. Yeah, how do you not? If you know Bruce Campbell, how do you not know Evil
Well,
Dead?
I'm not like following him on Twitter and watch everything that he talks about, but I haven't seen anything with Bruce Campbell in a long time besides what's that show he does on like that really popular network? I can't even remember the name of it. It's really popular.
Burn Notice.
Because SNL did a sketch about it like a couple years ago where they talked about how it was the most popular show that no one's ever heard of. Because no one's ever heard of Burn Notice, but it's like one of the most popular shows on television today. Anyway, sorry. Continue.
But yeah, he's great at it, man. He's freaking so hilarious. Got so many good one-liners. And it's, yeah, you wouldn't expect it to be great, but dude, every episode is just amazing.
Okay, that's Ash versus Evil Dead. So it's like a television show of the movie that he did years and years ago.
Oh, well, it's like 30 years later, the Evil Dead comes back. And
he's got to go back and fight him.
Yeah.
He's got chainsaw hands to help him do that. Okay, my pick is, I don't even know how I stumbled across this. This is kind of like a YouTube series, although the videos aren't necessarily related to one another. Do you guys know who Casey Neistat is?
Yeah.
So I don't even know how I stumbled into this guy's videos. We've talked about him in the past. He did that video on the iPhone 6 when they came out. He went to like the New York Apple store and showed that people were like taking like bags and bags of these things and shipping them off to China. And somehow I stumbled across his YouTube series of vlogs. So he does a video every single day, and he's been doing this, I think, since March 2015. So he's up to, I don't know, like 100 and something, 150 videos now so far. And I watched one on a whim, and I'm hooked. He has so many great videos on his channel now. I think he's a really good storyteller. And even though his videos are short and about the weirdest things, like he did one not long ago. I think it was titled "I Almost Died," and he recounts a story of when he and his friend, on a whim, decided to go climb some mountain in the southern hemisphere, and it was like this full on adventure where they make it up almost to the peak. And spoiler, actually, you know what? I'm not going to spoil this for you. I'll put a link in the show notes. It was riveting. The entire story from start to finish was absolutely riveting. And a lot of his stories are very inspirational. And you come away from them, unlike the shows that Leander and Buster mentioned, feeling good about yourself. You know, you're not just watching people die, which, yeah, believe me, I love a good zombie movie and show. But they're just very profound short films. And I kind of wondered what the hype was about this guy. I guess this is my point. I always wonder what the hype was about this guy, because I hear people talk about him all the time. And I had never really seen anything that he had done that was that engaging to me. And then I found his YouTube channel, and just video after video after video, this guy just shares stories from his life. And they're, most of them are very good. Some of them are incredible. He talks about his son who he had when he was like 17 years old. And I was like, wow, this guy had a son when he was 17. And then he talks about how he almost died on a mountain. I'm like, wow, this guy almost like died on a mountain climb. Then he talks about how he jumped out of like a plane in Israel. And he's done all these like really crazy things. He seems to be rather impulsive. And I'm not really sure how he hasn't gotten more injured than he has in his life, or even died, because he does things so impulsively that, I mean, he takes risks in his life that I think normal people wouldn't take. And he's always documenting them. He has footage that goes back 10 years. Like, I guess for the last 10 years, this guy has just been doing like video selfies constantly. I mean, the people in his life must hate it. But since he's been so diligent, he has this incredible backlog of footage throughout his entire life that he will splice into things that he makes nowadays. So he'll be doing a video about this mountainous climb, and then he'll put video footage in from this, from like right before he heads up to the summit, from like, you know, 5-6 years ago. He just happens to have it.
Yeah, he's been making movies for a long time.
Yeah. Do you know much about him, Leander?
Well, he first became The weird thing is his first public attention came from when he and his brother did launched a protest about the first iPod.
Uh-huh.
And it was called Apple's Dirty Secret. They made this this video about how you couldn't replace the battery in the original iPod. They were so outraged about this that they, I think they recorded. They called up the Apple Service Center or some Apple reps, and they were trying to goad them into saying something. And that was a huge like early viral hit, and really brought them a lot of attention. And then since then, he's been making movies, and he's made some really. I've seen. Like a bunch of his movies on, they often feature them on the New York Times.
Mm-hmm.
When the Costa Concordia, you remember that ferry in Italy that ran aground and tipped over?
Yeah,
the captain tried to wave to his friends on shore or something. And so he flew out there as soon as that happened just to check it out and made a little movie about that, which I thought was really compelling. And I've seen his movies. He's made movies about the bike lanes in New York and...
Uh-huh.
All sorts of stuff.
I mean, he makes movies about things that you would never think would be interesting stories. Like, they would just really be really mundane. But he somehow makes them extremely compelling to watch from start to finish.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I remember seeing one about he went snowboarding in New York when it snowed. There was only a light layer of snow, so he tied his snowboard to the back of a car and he had his friend driving around the streets and he was trying to pull bunny hops on the banks put the snow plows and put the snow up. Stuff like that. It's very it's surprisingly well done and compelling and very very watchable. They're mercifully short, aren't they? Most of them.
Most of them are very short.
Unlike this podcast,
Unlike this. Well, this podcast is only 30 minutes, Leander. I don't know what you're complaining about. We'll make 30 minutes next time. Yeah, but most of them are very short. But some of them are longer. Like he did one about his son and getting to know his son, which was amazing. I mean, he has like this son who looks like he's almost his own age. I didn't even believe that it was his son because he mentions him in other videos. And I thought to myself, there's no way this kid who's like 15 or 16 is his son because Casey Neistat does not look that old. Like he looks like he's in his 30s. And sure enough, it was his son. And he does this whole video about how, his son was born and how, he got to know him. And then he kind of lost touch with him. And now he's rebuilding this relationship with him. Anyway, check it out on YouTube. Just Google Casey Neistat. I'll link to it in the show. And go watch a couple. I'll probably link the one where he almost died because I found that one to be really compelling. And you might find yourself lost in one story after another as I have. I've just been watching these things like crazy because he's got so many. He's got like 150 now. In any case, Leander, should we go ahead and wrap it up there? Do you want to stick around? Let's do another hour.
What do you say? I gotta go get some lunch.
Are you sure, Leander? You don't want to do at least like another like 45, 60 minutes? Okay. Let's wrap it up. Okay. Well, we'll do another hour next week, I'm sure. Probably more. All right, well, that's all the cult cast we have for you guys this week. But you know what? If you want to come hang out with us on Twitter, that would be so much fun. I'm at Airfun, Leander's L. Caney, Buster's BST3R. I want to thank Canary for supporting this episode. Go check out all that Canary can do. If you're ready to secure your home or your rental unit from your thieving friends and your neighbors, go check out meetcanary.com. Use promo code CULTCAST to get free overnight shipping. That's all the CULTCAST we have for you guys this week. New episodes of the CULTCAST come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys. Leander, you take this one.
Next time.
Oh, that was so authoritative. It's like you're commanding them to be here next time. You're gonna get pissed.
Indeed.
And you don't want to piss off. You don't want to piss off the bard, Leander Caney. They'll come attack you with his staff.
The bard's like a guy in a tight green, tights who dances around with a lyre.
Okay.
And he has foppish hair and a bizarre hat with a feather in it.
No, that's Robin Hood that you just described. I'm talking about Friar Tuck. Friar Tuck's the guy you want to hang out with on Saturday night.
He was a friar. He had a big Benedictine, robe on tied by a rope.
He was a bard. Everyone loves to hang out with the bards. Harry's.
Sake. Sorry.
Leander, have you ever been diagnosed with Tourette's?
I know.
No.
Have you ever sought medical attention for that?
Maybe I should. My dad was the same.
Was he really?
He's exactly the same. Yeah,
he just mumble curse words.
Be mumbling to himself. Yeah.
Okay, let's put this fucker here. Yeah.
Just like totally silent and peaceful, then all of a sudden in the background you hear tits. But it's so low you don't even know if he actually said something offensive.
Right. Have you ever seen, actually I was telling my kids about it, I'm gonna dig it up. There was a hilarious documentary about Tourette's in Britain in the 80s. Mm-hmm. About this kid who had Tourette's. Uh-huh. That starts off. he's in the high street going to school in his school uniform. This is Johnny. You know, the narrator has a really serious voice. This is Johnny. Johnny has Tourette's. Then you hear the kid going, "Fucking you, fucking Jesus." And honestly, everybody in England fucking pissed themselves laughing. It was awful.